Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Floss Weekly is provided by CashFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Floss Weekly with Randall Schwartz and Dan Lynch, episode 144 for December 1st, 2010, DTC. It's time for Floss Weekly, the weekly show about free, libre, open source software. I am your host, Randall Schwartz, Merlin at Stonehenge.com, bringing you every week, or at least as often as I can get it to happen, all the cool things that are happening, the big projects, little projects, the big people, the little people. Well, not necessarily little people, but you know what I mean. So we've got a lot of people on this show. I'm coming to you live once again. If you're watching the video stream, I'm coming to you live from the 43rd floor of the 9th tallest building in L.A., my client oversee.net, graciously giving me both the office space and the time off work right at this hour so I can bring you this show. But I always bring this show, or at least try to always bring this show, with a co-host. Let's bring on this week's co-host, Dan Lynch. Hello, Dan. Welcome back.
Hi, thanks. Thanks for inviting me back on. It's good to be here.
Well, I really appreciate your insight into things that and the overlap of knowledge that we have. Somewhere between the two of us, we have a complete brain, so that's really nice.
Yeah, we need to work out a timeshare scheme or something for that. I'd like the brain this weekend, and you can have it next weekend. How does that work?
Yeah, well, I kind of like it every weekend, actually. No, actually, some weekends I prefer not having my brain. You're right. There are the weekends where I really don't need it at all. Well, speaking of needing brains, one of the reasons I really appreciate you being here this week is, again, it's something that's more Linux-oriented, and I don't really, as much as I love all the open-source spectrum, I'm not much of a Linux guy, and I'm really glad you are, because this week's guest is none other than Thomas Gorand, something like that. He's a Frenchman, but currently living in China. So it's going to be an interesting combination of Skype skills and listening skills to be able to pull out what he has to say. But it's very important because he wants to talk to us about DTC, which is the domain. DTC is the – I'm looking for it. It's in there somewhere. No, it's DTC. It's basically domain something software. Oh, it's in front of me. Domain technology controller. Randall, look at the screen. Yes, there we go. Domain technology controller. And it's software to manage and manipulate websites, web hosting on real and virtual servers, and his company GPL Host is surrounded around this, and he's apparently been doing this for a long time. It's all wonderful open source software. But before I bring on our guest, I also do want to say that happy birthday to our executive producer in absentia, good old Leo Laporte, without whom I would not be doing this show. He just turned 54 a couple days before airing of this show, the taping of this show, and I just wanted to say happy birthday, Leo.
Yeah, happy birthday to Leo.
Here we go. Should we sing? Let's not sing.
You lead it off.
Pay the copyright on that. Yeah, actually, that'd be a little hard with a 3-second Skype delay. That'd be kind of bad. Well, without further ado, let me. You have any comments about our guest today before we bring him on?
No. Can't wait to hear about it. I also know he's quite involved with the Debian project, which is of great interest to me. So it'd be great to ask him about that as well.
Oh, very good. Yeah, good. Good. You're bringing that up. Okay. Well, so without further ado, let's go ahead and bring on our guest.
Hello, Randall. It's really a pleasure to be on the show today.
Well, I appreciate you coming.
I was listening to you very often. I enjoyed particularly when you talked about with the virtual box person and two shows ago when it was sent to us. It was really great. Thank you for that.
Oh, very good. Well, thank you very much for being a fan of the show or listener to the show. Now, I understand you're a long ways away from me. Where are we speaking to you from?
Yes, I'm actually a French guy, so I hope you will understand my English is not perfect and I got a strong accent. Sorry for that. Mm-hmm. I'm a French guy living in Shanghai, China. So it's like 1:40 in the morning here.
Well, I appreciate you staying up really late or getting up really early, whatever you had to do to be on this show. I'm really honored to have that there. And speaking of being on the show, I gave us sort of an overview of what DTC is about at the beginning of the show, but I probably did it some injustice. So actually, last week it worked really well to start this way. So I want to start with what's the problem that DTC is solving, and then how does DTC solve it?
All right. The problem is that when you have some email and a website and then DNS and all sorts of things on your server, then it takes a really, really long time to do everything by hand on the shell. So like, you don't want to do that, not because you are not capable of doing that, but because it takes too long, too much time for you, and you don't have such time. And as well, if you have customers that expect to do things themselves, you cannot do it yourself being root on the shell. You have to have a web interface to be able to manage all that. And that what is DTC all about? It's a web interface so that you can manage your server to do hosting of web space and email things. Like, and it's as well a turnkey solution for web hosts so that you can resell hosting space. And it aims at handling absolutely everything you need for your hosting needs. But it's not only for web host. Like, you could use it for your personal use, especially if you have email with like DTC is handling a quite complicated setup that you would take too much time for you to handle. And that's about it.
Okay, so I wouldn't necessarily use this if it was just a personal machine, but you're talking about if I have like a cluster of machines and I want to get everything all configured up, the mail, the web server, the DNS server and all that stuff, this would sort of take care of that.
Yes, correct.
And it's not necessarily for just my machines, but is it more designed for, say, I'm a system administrator for a small cluster of machines for a small business maybe, or is it more designed for, say, I'm a reseller of customer-facing web machines for customers?
Okay, so like DTC will handle a bunch of Xen server for hosting a virtual server based on Xen for the moment, because I'll talk about that later. We will work on handling as well not only Xen but Virtuoso and KVM. But it's mainly to manage a single server to do shared hosting, like what we call shared hosting in our industry. So like it's a turnkey for web host in the fact that it can manage everything to from selling to support tickets to billing, invoicing, etc.
Okay,
so that's what it is about.
So I might have a machine sitting in a rack somewhere in a colo, and I want to make money, or at least let my friends all have access to the box, but they all want their own individual view of the box. They want like their particular website, their particular mail, their particular domain name managed, that sort of thing. So this is more for that then.
Exactly. So like you would have a root console that only the main administrator would have access to. Mm-hmm. And each customer would have its own client panel, because like we call that web interface in the industry, we call it a control panel, okay? Mm-hmm. So like you would have your client control panel access with your email mailing lists, DNS entries, and your virtual machines as well.
Okay, now it sounds like this was sort of started in the era of, you know, the big machines being broken down only by handing out domain subsets of it were sort of considered. But I think, aren't we moving more towards VPSs and stuff? I mean, wouldn't that sort of alleviate the need for something like this?
I can clearly see that the industry is going to that point, yes. So, like, more and more people want to have the root on their server. And because of that, they are really interested in running virtual machines, especially I love especially Xen because it isolates things properly the correct way, I believe. Mm-hmm. And that's why we first focused on Xen virtual servers.
Okay, so this thing started out as something just to manage a whole box and be able to take it down and carve it into pieces for sublet customers. But you're saying also that DTC is moving in towards the VPS model, the Xen model.
Okay, the way the project started back in the early 2000 is that I had a friend that was running a small web host company, and he was just managing everything with scripts on the shell, and it was starting to become horrible for him. So I started to work on having a small web interface for managing his accounts, And more and more, I added options and options and options again. Mm-hmm. And after 10 years, it became what it is right now. So everything to begin with has been added to the project because of needs of web hosting companies. Mm-hmm. And we are the first user of that software. And that thing that might be what is very special about that software is that you have, if you look at other control panel in the industry, you have commercial ones that are made by companies that do not do web hosting, and as well for other open source solutions are designed the same way. So I believe that GPL Host is a company really special about that, is that we make our own software and we use it. So there's no functions that we don't use in that software.
Well, it's good to be your own first customer, because it actually is one of the aspects I think that makes open source special, is that a lot of the projects that are out there, you know, people were their own first customers. So that, I appreciate that about that. Give us a quick rundown again of what the basic services are that DTC is managing on a particular host.
All right. So it manages Apache, mm-hmm. Your Bind DNS server. Hang on, I have a full list of that. On the website. Okay. If I don't go to it, I will skip some.
No worries.
Okay, so there's Apache, there's PHP, mm-hmm. there's SBox that handles the CGI scripts, there's WebAlyzer, AWStats, and visitors for your web statistics. There's the mail server with Postfix, Cyrus, Dovecot, Courier, IMAP, and POP. There's mail drop delivery, there's Amavis, Clamav, anti-spam with Spam Assassin. There's mailing list with MLMMJ, that's a mailing list manager made joyful. It's a wonderful project that I encourage you, everybody, to have a look to. There's MH on Arc, which is a mailing list archiver. There's Pure FTPD and Pro FTPD. There's a bunch of registrar, because with DTC you can as well register domain names. It handles MySQL accounts for your customers. It handles NSS MySQL, so that you can resell some shell accounts that are in chroot. It handles PayPal, Inet, MaxMine Anti-Fraud, and Xen, and everything is not in that list, but that's the main list that we have on our website. So there's really a lot of things that you wouldn't be able to manage on your own, on the shell, because it takes too much time to handle all of them.
Well, that's an impressive list that it's able to manage all that. So this is all being managed through some sort of easy-to-use web interface. Do I need to know command line shell utilities to manage any of this?
Okay. A control panel is not meant to replace you on the shell. Mm-hmm. That's a common mistake that everybody is doing, is that, okay, I don't understand anything, so I will use a control panel. You can do that, but that's not what I would recommend. I would recommend you that you still go into every single technology that the control panel will handle, so that you will be able to face any issue on it. And what it is about is to make things easy to use and automate everything, so that it goes faster to administer your machine.
Mm-hmm. Thomas, this is Dan here. I just wanted to ask you, it sounds, from what you've said about DTC, it sounds a little bit similar to me to something like Webmin, which some people may have used. Do you get a lot of that comparison? Would you say that's a fair comparison?
Okay, Webmin is more like an editor for your server configuration files. Okay, which is basically what does DTC. But the main difference is that the Webmin approach would be to give you the directives of that configuration file and present them to you on the web interface. And that's not all the approach that we have here. Mm. Our approach in that control panel is more the kind of you will find in programs like Plesk, cPanel, Direct Admin, That's for the three main commercial products that you will find. As well, on the open source solution, if you want to compare things, you could compare us with ISP config or VHES, which is a more old project. That would be more the kind of project you would compare DTC with. Mm. And like, if you want to compare DTC with WebMin, then you would have to consider VirtualMin, which is the hosting, commercial hosting side of WebMin.
Right.
Okay.
Yep. Yeah, that
and
makes
that
sense.
That part is commercial in WebMin. I mean, a part of web virtual mini is commercial in it. It's an open core.
Yeah, that makes sense. So one thing I was really interested in is the fact that DTC is packaged in Debian, which Debian Linux, which I would hope everybody knows. But so how did you get involved with Debian? And can you tell us a bit about the link between yourself and Debian?
Of course, everybody knows Debian. First thing is that I always use Debian since 1999. Since I'm involved in playing with servers, in fact, and like I started to do some packaging work for the needs of DTC itself, because like when you pull the full version of DTC. Okay, there's many flavors in DTC. So like there's a small flavor where it doesn't need a lot of applications. There's a bigger flavor where it will pull everything. And like for the big, for DTC-toaster, which is the full flavor of DTC with all the dependencies, you have more than 200 direct and indirect dependencies. Meaning that each of these programs, DTC will interact with them. I believe that DTC is the only control panel which is integrated in a distribution like that. And because of all the interactions you have with packages, I got more and more involved in the Debian project itself. So since last June, I became a Debian developer. And I do a lot of packaging in Debian directly. So like there's about 25 packages that I maintain directly in Debian, including DTC itself. That's all of these packages are related to hosting, all of them.
Did I also read somewhere that it's in Ubuntu as well, or it has been packaged for Ubuntu?
Okay, it hasn't been packaged for Ubuntu. It has been pulled from SID. Okay, where there's some packages in Debian, they go directly from Debian to Ubuntu without much checking, and this is what happened. In fact, I was not really happy with the way it happened because even though I sent some comments on the bug tracker saying don't pull that version, get that one. I guess they didn't had enough time to pay attention to it. So, like, I would absolutely not recommend to use the Ubuntu version because it will break your SSH login. Unfortunately, that's the way it is.
That's interesting that it's a shame that you don't really have, you know, they didn't listen more to your advice on that subject. But is it possible to use it with any other distributions? Say I've got a CentOS or Red Hat box. Is it possible for me to use DTC or is it mainly just for Debian and derivatives?
So DTC is also included directly in FreeBSD. So if you have a look in USR ports, sysutil DTC, you will find it. And as well, we maintain our own CentOS repository. And in fact, in that way, we'll find lots of the dependencies that are missing in CentOS. We found out that there is no courier mail dropped when we worked on that. And many very mandatory packages. So that, that package, that repository that we maintain doesn't handle whole on the EDDC itself. It has also packages that we didn't find in CentOS.
Hmm. Okay. So you can actually use it in lots of different distributions, and that's really interesting. Do you find that Debian is your main core user base, and most people use it with Debian, or do you have any idea what the kind of split is on that?
Okay. I believe that what is the best maintained operating system would be Debian, because I'm the main author of the program, and I do most of the programming work, even though there's a lot of contributors now. But I believe that the FreeBSD version is in very good shape, okay? Because thanks to a contributor in Argentina. As for CentOS, it might be a bit harder to use. Therefore, I think that the user base is quite smaller. It's very hard for an open source project to know what operating system the users are actually using in production.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, it's always difficult to track that kind of thing. So how many people actually work on DTC then? Obviously yourself, are there many other developers involved?
Inside my company, which is GPL Host, there's my good friend, colleague Damien, that do a lot of commits on it. We received a lot of contribution from two people in Argentina this year, especially that guy that worked on FreeBSD, which is why I said it was in good shape. So Fernando, if you listen to me, thanks a lot for your contributions. And we received many, many small bug fix and patches from around the world. But mainly I would say there is 4 or 5 person doing lots of commits in the projects.
Is it a conscious decision to kind of keep a small core of team together, or are you happy for other people to come in and contribute and so on?
I would be very happy. I would be delighted if there were more people involved in the project. Come on and join.
Excellent. Another thing I noticed is on your, we should talk a bit about GPL Host, which, as you said, is your company where you use DTC and other things. I noticed that on the GPL Host website, it says you've got 10 points of presence, I believe it calls them, around the globe. So, you're kind of covering the whole globe here. How do you keep that kind of infrastructure up? Is it difficult to manage all that?
Okay. We are a virtual company, meaning that we are spread around the world. I live in Shanghai, China, while I have my partner with GPL Host UK, which manages Europe, lives in France. And there's, I mentioned Damien as well, which is an Australian guy living in Sydney. So because we are spread around the world, we can have 24-hour support for our customers. So that is well covered. And in each single locations, we have very good partners to work with, and that's the way it works. So for these few locations where we are, we have people to work directly with, and with others, we have partners to work with.
Oh, all right, that's cool. Does GPL Host do a similar kind of thing to, say, someone like Linode would do in providing? I suppose Linode specializes in VPSs, and you're doing shared hosting as well. Do you get people comparing the two? Apart from me, that is.
Yes, well, I could say that. So, the main difference with Linode is that they don't do software. Okay, I mean they do their software, but they don't provide it to anyone when we are fully open. But yes, we they are a competitor, and as well we do dedicated servers, which Linode I believe doesn't do as well.
Yeah, that makes sense. I suppose we can't actually specific numbers, but do you have a lot of customers around the world? Do you have a lot of sites on there at the moment on your various servers?
Yes, we do. Hopefully we do.
Excellent.
We are slowly reaching more than 100 servers with maybe more than half of them being Xen servers. And as well, we have many customers that run DTC, and we set up for them, we set up Xen and the web interface so that they can use or resell Zen Space.
Yeah, one thing that interests me, I'm a huge fan of the GPL license. I mean, we won't get into big ethical arguments about it, but I am a big fan of the GPL license, and it always intrigues me when people choose it, and I always wonder why they chose it. So can you tell us why you chose to license DTC under the GPL and why it's important to you?
So in fact, not everything is GPL. In fact, we have LGPL for the code.
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Because I had one of my friends, which is an extremist, says the only real open license is BSD because you can do everything you want. And I quite agree with that. So like the GPL license might be a bit too close for the code itself, and We pick up the GPL license for the graphics because we do not want the graphics to be used in a commercial application.
So the graphics themselves are under the GPL, you say, but some of the code isn't, or is most of the code not under the GPL then? It's LGPL?
The code is in LGPL, yes.
Right. Okay, that makes sense. I suppose something that interests a lot of people is the fact that you were saying about Linode and the fact that it could be considered a competitor and that they don't release their software to other people. So the fact that you do release your software to other people open source, how does that affect your business? Because, a business analyst coming along might say, well, that's not very smart to release your code to other people so competitors could use it. So how does that work for you?
All right. The business model that we've chosen is that we thought, first of all, I was not happy to know that you would have everything on your server being open source, given by everyone as free, and then you could do anything you'd want with the software. But like just the thing which is on top that controls everything on it, then that one wouldn't be open source. So I just feel morally that this would be wrong. Like for a business standpoint, the business idea was that people would use the software on their server first, okay? And once they use it, then maybe they would come for us to ask for help. And then maybe if they go on the big production, maybe we would be the best person to help them with that production using that software. Then they would choose us to do a good support with the software that they use. And that's the way.
Yeah, of course. So you've always got the support model. I have to admit, I was playing devil's advocate a little bit there. Obviously, I do love the GPL, but I know a lot of people will want to ask that question. So obviously, you've got the support model built around it and other things as well. So, do you plan to expand at all into any other countries? Is 10 enough, or do you want some more? Are you going to take over the world?
Yes, take over the world and take over Microsoft, for sure. So, like, in fact, we are mainly in Europe, Asia, and North America. I can see that there's some market in South America. Like, it would be great if we could be in Argentina, for example, and maybe as well South Africa. But the fact is that it takes a long, 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 long time to find the good partner to work with. Like in Singapore, we've moved to 5 different data centers, and finally we are happy with the service. So going everywhere in the world, you cannot just do it in 5 minutes, because as well you have to face legal problems on every different locations. In some locations you have to set up a company, in some others you don't. For example, in Europe it's fine to have a single company for the full of Europe, and many problems like that.
Excellent.
So actually, I was sort of curious going along that line of discussion then. So you've got a model where you're dealing in a fairly low margin business, because I know that hosting really, you're relying on thin margins all along, and I'm impressed that you would release your really core contribution to the world as open source, because it seems like the competitors would just immediately pick up on that, and then you'd be competing against somebody who can also maintain a low margin. And And I think you sort of answered the question, but did you decide to do this from the beginning that way? And if what so motivated you other than just what's the moral thing to do?
Yes, I started that way to begin with. So like the company was called GPL Host because I had that in mind from scratch.
So you're putting your money where your mouth is, literally. I mean, or where your position is, which is that, you know, everything should be open source just for the sake of it being open source, not because you had a motivated business model that said, well, if I open source this, I can probably leverage it into more money for my company eventually.
To be honest, I'm not 100% sure. I thought about it to begin with, but it worked out very well.
Okay. Well, I'm hoping you're making enough money off your collateral services, because obviously you're making money using GPL Host or using DTC for your own company to your GPL Host to make it work. I hope you're also making, you know, because the businessman in me says, I hope you're also making some sort of financial leverage having made DTC open source as well. But even if you haven't, I appreciate the moral stand. I'm just wondering, has it actually worked out?
I think we did, because like there's many, many people that are our customers because of what we have decided to do. Okay, like people go on GPL hosting. Okay, I'm going to host with you because I know you are a Debian developer. I know that you support open source, and I want to support it as well.
Oh, I completely overlooked that aspect of it. I'm sorry. Yeah, really. So it serves also as a marketing issue for you. It's actually a way to bring customers in saying, look, our entire stack is from top to bottom is open source. And so you'll know that if you ever become dissatisfied with us, you can just pull off and go run it on your own machine if you really needed to.
Yeah, but that's as well. The point is that you can use the software with us, but you can as well run it on your test server, on your basement or garage or whatever.
Oh, that's right. I guess also you could then simulate the environment so I could have a dev box completely disconnected from you and not have to rent a separate dev box on your turf and simulate everything or pre-stage everything to make sure it's all going to run right before I send it over to the actual live server.
Correct. That's the point.
Oh, good, good. Okay. So there are some business models here. I'm sorry. I sometimes can't put all the pieces together. I guess it's probably because it's early morning for me as well, and I haven't had quite enough caffeine yet to totally understand.
Night for me.
And so I want to go back in your history then, because I like your moral stand. So when did you become exposed to open source software, and what was that like for you to discover that people were contributing in the public like this?
Can you ask that again? I'm not sure I understand your question.
what was your first exposure to open source free software?
But like when I started to use, I started computing with an Atari computer. Okay, back in 85. Mm-hmm. And like I used it until the very end, until like it was really becoming too slow, and that other computers were a lot faster, okay? Mm-hmm. And I just couldn't stand running Microsoft Windows. I think it crashed all the time, and it wasn't just a good product. I just didn't like it. Mm-hmm. So I started to look on Linux things, because that was the only obvious alternative I had. I didn't really like the Apple computers at the time. I didn't think it was very good either. So I just started using Linux, and I thought it was great to have everything for free, because like I thought that okay, it's fine to buy hardware, but like I love the fact that I would have the source and be able to modify everything for my usage, share it with others, do translations and things like that.
Cool. And how did you get around to actually doing the service that GPL Host is providing? What brought you to that particular stage?
What happened is that I first, like I mentioned it, I first helped a friend that was doing hosting services, and then I kind of helped him for a few years, and then didn't help him, but started again the project and released it in open source. In fact, what happened is that I had the project in 2002 on my personal web page saying I don't have a server to do my development. Is there anyone that wants to help me to have a server to so that I can continue the software? And then there's Daniel from iGlobal Networks in Florida that just gave me a box and said, "Okay, go on, have a go with that server and start continue doing your programming." Mm-hmm. So I did that, and then he started to push me, saying, "Okay, that box is consuming power and space on the data center. So why don't you start doing money with it?" So I started doing money with it, as he advised me to do, and that's how GPL Host got started.
Wow. Okay. Okay. And then from here, you've built a company around it to make it profitable for you, and you sound it seem like you've been doing pretty well. If you're on 10 continents, or not 10 continents, 10 hosting locations. You're already in Mars.
Yes, yeah, I'm hosting from Mars and then
two planets.
Where do you see DTC going? What's still missing in it for people? What kind of requests are you getting for new features? Where's that going?
Okay. First of all, there's a bunch of functionalities that we need for ourselves, because we host from many places like that. We are having big headaches with accounting. Mm. So I'm looking into more integration with projects like GNU Cache, so that I could do exports. There's some needs to have a kind of cart system so that you could register for many packages at once. So like one dedicated server, three VMs, one here, one there, and then pay for them at the same time. There's a lot of people asking for a reseller API, so we are going to work on that. I'm as well looking at cloud computing a lot. The issue is that I didn't clearly see a correct API that is becoming the standard. Okay, of course there is EC2 from Amazon, but like everybody's doing its own implementation.
Yep.
And I'm not sure it's the role of a project like DTC to rebuild everything from scratch. So, like, we will pick up some project when they become mature. So, maybe OpenStack or some project like that. And there's loads of features. That's the kind of project which has never an end. So, like, there's always things to add.
Obviously, And I'm still just curious though. How many resellers out there are using your software? You probably can't answer this question, but maybe you can. How many people out there do you think are using your software to actually compete against you?
To compete against me, that's a hard question to know. That has a popcorn a package in Debian, okay? Like popularity contest.
Sure.
As much as I could see, people do not run it. Okay, so like they don't want to expose themselves to say I'm using that or this software for my hosting, but I'm guessing there's thousands of users at least.
So you think there's actually somebody out there selling the services using your software?
I can tell that because of our statistics on our Debian repositories.
Okay.
So like we have about. Maybe 8 or 9 mirrors for the packages, but like when I look into the statistics, I can tell there's thousands of users at least.
Probably
that's all I can guess, you know.
Yeah. so probably probably some of these installations are your like we were talking about earlier, like a rehearsal machine, a staging machine for eventually hosting with you. I bet there's probably also some internal users, like the company I'm working for right now has a stack of machines that they might want to provision and get going on a quick basis, and I imagine this would be good for that.
Yes, and I guess there's many users that are not reselling, so like you can just set it up just for your own hosting needs, so like for handling your email, which is quite horrible setup to go with if you need anti-spam solutions.
See, if you'd only put a little branding in the Apache server that you ship with your software, that put in the version header, put that this was DTC, that'd be kind of cool. You could tell from looking at server stats.
No, that's exactly the things that people don't want me to do. So I won't do that.
Well, you know,
it's bad for security because you do not want to expose anything to anyone.
Yeah, yeah. No? I know, it used to be funny because people would argue that there was a lot more PHP in the world than there was Mod Perl, and it's because Mod Perl tends not to put a branding in there, but PHP was sort of installed by default, or was people thought PHP was much huger than Perl, when in fact it was probably comparable in the late 90s. So, interesting thing there. Anyway, yeah. I digress. Actually, from our chat room, we said, does it work on Apple's Xserve?
Yes. Okay. Before I came in China 5 years ago, I was in a relationship with Apple Europe. So I went in their office in Paris, and I worked a long time with working on an Apple computer port. The main issue I found with that Apple X server is that they didn't have the packages for SMTP over for authenticated SMTP. So it does work, but there's issues that we have to face with the macOS platform. And in fact, if some people want to contribute for having better support for Apple computer, that would be great. The thing is that it's one thing to just have the web interface running, and it's another one to have the whole of the system running. It's a lot of work to have everything from beginning to end, including all the anti-spam things running.
That actually brings us quite nicely onto something that I wanted to ask about. So say I've got myself a shiny new web server. What do I need to do to install DTC? How what do I need to run it? You know, what are the requirements and things like that?
The requirement in terms of what? In terms of memory? In terms of what?
What kind of hardware would I need to make it run well, or even, you know, what kind of software do I need as well? Do I have to have Debian or something installed already and then pull it in, or how does that kind of work? How hard is it to deploy, I suppose, is what I'm trying to ask.
One thing is that before you install it, the best way is that you have a virgin system without anything installing it, because it might break what is already installed. I don't think it will overwrite your web content, but if you already have some DNS zones installed, then maybe they would conflict once you move to it. So best is to run a virgin server. And then in terms of memory, the control panel itself doesn't use any, because it's just a bunch of scripts. It's PHP and SH. But there's a lot of daemons running, like FTP, MySQL, Apache, then you will need maybe 300 megabytes. And then if you want to run the anti-spam system, if you want Spam Assassin, Amavis, Clamav, and DKIM proxy, and etc., then you would need at least 700 megabytes. In fact, that's an interesting thing that I want to tell, is that when we were running under Edge, 200 megabytes was enough to run everything. And since we have, from Sarge, 200 was enough. And now we've moved from Sarge to Edge to Lenny, and then soon to Squeeze. And then now we need 700. This is not because of DTC, but because of all the daemons it's running. These daemons running anti-spam systems has grown so big, I don't understand why.
So it's actually the external services that you're connecting to that are consuming most of the resources, of the resources.
Correct.
Now, you kind of mentioned it briefly there. I was actually going to ask as well, what is DTC developed in? You mentioned PHP, so it's PHP linking to Bash scripts and things like that. Is that right?
Yeah, so it's mainly PHP, because that's the language that most people like to do web programming. So there's maybe 60,000 lines of PHP in the project. There's a lot of SH scripts, especially for the setup, which is quite huge and quite ugly. In fact, I'm not so proud of it, but that's because of the interactions with all the packages, which is not easy to do. Like if in your Debian system, if you set up Postfix, Amavis, Clamav all together, and then guess what? They're not running with each other. So you have to do things so that they do work with each other, and that's where the SH installer script is about. As well, there's some C programming because we run everything is in real time for the bandwidth things. So like for the web bandwidth, you have it in real time through modlog SQL. So like we took a modlog SQL and I wrote a patch in C for that so that it could do a scoreboard with the overall statistics for each website. And I wrote the same kind of things reading the log files from your mail server so that you would have the mail server statistics in real time. So there's SH, PHP, and C, all three.
Okay. Excellent. And something else that I think you may have briefly touched on earlier was the whole virtualization thing. You have obviously good support for Xen platform. Do you support any other virtualization platforms? I think you may have mentioned KVM. There's obviously many virtualization platforms.
Yeah, and I forgot. I think I have to mention the way it works. Like you have DTC, which is the web interface, and that it would connect to a server running a Python, which in fact they connect through SOAP. Okay, and this Python program is written not especially for Xen. I mean it was at the beginning, and then slowly I detached it from Xen, so like it would be very easy to write more virtualization support. So like currently we have Virtuoso, which is nearly done, and like I hope that we will soon be able to work on KVM as well.
Excellent.
Fascinating stuff. Hey, I'm just wondering, actually, I'm curious, I don't think we asked this yet, but my apologies if we actually already came up, but is your development environment in the open? I mean, do you have your repository open, and is your bug tracking system in the open?
Yes. There's a Git that you can clone.
Okay.
And for all the projects we have. And there's the Debian bug tracker, which is open to everyone, as you know, and our own Mantis system. So you can send bugs against both bug trackers the way you want.
And what kind of responsiveness is there to people who are making requests? Is this something like if it's a small request and I'm not a developer, but I need a end user sort of change made? Are these the kinds of things you're open to be doing in your copious spare time?
There's few requests that make sense, that some others that don't. So, like, of course, there's a kind of filter in that. But, like, I would encourage everyone that needs a new feature to go on our forum and ask for it. And if sometimes it takes up to a year to make because I have to think about it, discuss with others. Sometimes it's not very easy to make. But at the end, if it's something that really is useful, then it might end up in the project, yes.
Have people ever hooked up in the forum and like somebody has a request, but somebody else actually provided the software?
There's a feature request forum. So like there's a special place where you can ask for features. And like, yes, there's some... for example, I can remember a feature like people were willing to have their own domain name as a registration. So like when you want a shared hosting server, you might want like your company is called Example, and like you want to resell blahblah.example.com. So people wanted to have that in the registration form. So that feature I just made it for the others to use.
Wow, that's very cool. So you have people, you really have a community then where people are producing things for other people in the community. You don't have to be involved with every single decision then.
Yeah, and like there's other things that were made in DTC that I didn't even do myself at all. Like there's two contributors from Argentina I mentioned already. Mm-hmm. They wrote Internet VS support, which is a registrar, so that you could register domain names through Internet VS. And the other Argentina guy did, or maybe it's the same one, I'm always mistaking between the two. He did, hang on, I forgot. Yes, he did Dynero Mail support, which is a payment gateway thing. So that you can pay with Dynero Mail if you are in Argentina.
Well, it sounds like you've got a really interesting project there. I mean, it's fitting a particular niche, but it sounds like if you're in that space where you need this kind of a service, it sounds like DTC is definitely the thing to look at. Any last words you want to tell our audience before we have to let you go?
Yes, I don't use Emacs and I don't use VI either. I use Joe.
Joe. Oh, okay.
Because 640K should be enough for everyone.
Well, on that note, I want to really thank you for staying up late or getting up early, whatever you had to do to get up at 1:30 in the morning for this show and coming to us from Shanghai. So I really appreciate you coming on the show today, Thomas, and hope you great success in your project.
Thank you. Mm. Thanks a lot. It was very nice to have you guys.
Very good. Thank you. That was Thomas Garand, something like that. Garand. I'll just pronounce it for
careful
ways
right,
till I get
right.
It right. Oh, he's still listening. Okay. You're not supposed to talk now. We're done with you.
Okay. I get up. I get away. Bye-bye.
Au revoir.
That was Thomas Garand. Working with the GPLhost.com company. What do you think, Dan?
Yeah, interesting. I thought it was interesting to get into some of the kind of the business discussions, because I know for some of us it's a bit of a dirty word, but you know, everybody has bills to pay, and I think it's interesting to talk about the way that the decisions in opening code and stuff affect the business model and so on. And it seems to be working out well for him. I'm really pleased for him.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a practical guy too, and so I'm always looking at, you know, I definitely believe in the value of open source to be able to have, you know, as I've said, you know, in 140 previous shows, you know, that really is important to me that we have availability of software that we can manage, manipulate, mold, and we don't just have canned software that comes to us as unthinkable binaries. So it's really nice that there's this open source model, but, you know, I'm a practical guy, so I always have to figure out, how do I actually make this work well so that it isn't just a bunch of starving artists coming up with this stuff? Because you won't get high quality material from a bunch of starving artists. Well, maybe you will sort of accidentally, I guess. But I'm always curious, like with something like DTC, that, you know, is there a mechanism for is there a motive that is not just about altruism, which I appreciate, but is not enough to sort of completely cut it for me. Maybe it's because I'm not very morally compassed. I don't know. I always see what the actual angles are.
It seems as though in this case, maybe the altruism came first and the business model followed it, fortunately. So it doesn't always work that way, but it's good that it has in this sense.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, speaking of business models, that's my usual non sequitur transition to the upcoming guest list. I always try to make it as weird as possible now. Where am I going to go to get to the upcoming guest list? We have a really, you know, really interesting show. And again, from halfway around the world next week, we're going to talk with David Ankers and James Cotton. And this is the Open Pilot Project, which is for UAVs, unattended aerial vehicles, unattended aerodynamic volumes. So whatever UAV stands for. I should have looked it up between last week and this week. I didn't. We're going to have this is going to be a really fun show. Hopefully we'll have some video footage for us. But these are basically unattended air vehicles. Right. So that's what I said already. But they fly by directions that they keep themselves balanced and upright and flying. And you can eventually the goal is you can say fly over a neighborhood and take pictures and bring them back to me. Or make make spy missions, I guess, your own little spy missions, open source software. That's going to be a lot of fun. Then a very special Christmas show, a very special Floss Weekly. We have John O'Bacon, the good one and famous John O'Bacon, who used to co-host the show with me. He is going to be back on to talk about Severed Fifth, his musical project. I already taped that interview last week. week. So we're going to put that in during the Christmas slot, and we have to do that because I'm going to actually be out on a cruise ship just before Christmas, so I won't be able to do a live show. So you'll see this only in the audio feed, not the video feed. You've worked with you worked with John Owen on the Cyber Fifth Project, the recent album, right?
I did. Yeah, I did. I mastered it in my studio. I did some audio tweaking and so on as part of what I do as a sound engineer. Yeah, so I helped him out with that.
Very good. Very good. Well, so there's a tie-in even to our friend Dan here, also on the show. And then wrapping up at the end of the year, we have Mark Laporte, not related to Lee Laporte in any way, shape, or form, but he's going to talk to us about Tiki Wiki, which is one of those projects that started out as a wiki, and they just started throwing more and more things into it till now it's a entire content management system, organization, groupware, whatever buzzword you want to throw in there. It apparently has lots and lots and lots of plugins to be able to handle all sorts of interfaces. So looking forward to that as well. A lot of other people on the short list, twit.tv/floss is a link to the show, to the upcoming guest list. I'm just about to open up my January and February schedule, so I'll be adding a bunch more names probably the next time we do the show. But a lot of great people on that list. Now, if you see people on that list, no. If you don't see people, no. If you see people that aren't on that list, you don't see people on that list. I don't see any people there. No, if you see people that aren't on that list, there we go, that you'd like on that list, please have them email me. That's the best way. Don't just write me and say, boy, I'd really love Project X to be on your show. Because you know what I'm going to do with that? I'm going to send back mail right away saying, go tell the guys at Project X to write me and I'll put them on the show. That's how these works. That's how all these, like the first 50 names on that list, that's exactly what's happened. The project leader has already emailed me and we're just negotiating a date. So love that. Lots and lots of people on the list. And I could do, like I said, I could do this show daily and I still wouldn't run out of people to do. I just enjoy talking to people so much about open source software, open source materials. Follow me on Twitter at twitter.com/Merlyn, M-E-R-L-Y-N. Make sure the Y is in there. Also, I just want to give one more plug in. I just finished recording another story for starshipsofa.com. It's a great podcast that does almost 2 hours a week of material of science fiction stories being read, interviews with famous SF authors and stuff. And it's now Hugo Award winning. It's the first podcast to win a Hugo Award. So I'm very honored to be participating with them, having a great time reading stories for them. Just read a piece that was done by my old colleague at Tektronix from 30 years ago, David Levine. David, if you're out there listening to this show, know that I've just finished your piece for an upcoming Starship Sofa show. Let's see. And I'm also, the reason, again, I'm not going to be able to do a live show in a couple weeks. I'm going to be out on a cruise, Sky and Telescope Magazine, partnered with InsightCruises.com. I'm going to be able to watch a lunar eclipse while we're out at midnight at sea, so completely away from all the lights of the shore. That'll be really, really fun. Also, one more plug for them, the Joko Cruise Crazy, I think, could still be purchased if you go to JokoCruiseCrazy.com, something like that. Well, just look, Jonathan Colton fans, you already know. Just be on the cruise with me. It'll be a lot of fun. And also, just earlier in the show, I mentioned the chat room. We do this show live on Wednesdays at 9:30 in the morning, Pacific time, US. That'd be 12:30 Eastern time. And what time is it in the UK there, Dan?
5:30 in the evening.
5:30. So we do this live, and it's 1:30 in the morning, apparently, in Shanghai. If you want to come in on live.twit.tv, you can come in and chat with us and ask questions of our guest, because I watch that channel constantly while we're on the air. And I think that's everything on my list. How about you, Dan? How do people find out about you, and what are you working on?
I suppose the main thing that would be of interest to Floss fans is Linux Outlaws, which is a weekly podcast that I do with my my co-host, Fabian Churchill.
A very good show, by the way, and I always send people over to your show. When people are asking for news on Floss Weekly, I say, no, I'm not a news show, I'm a magazine show. The news show is Linux Outlaws. Go check it out.
Yeah, well, we appreciate the support. We haven't won any Hugo Awards yet, but we should always strive for excellence. So maybe one day, who knows? Yeah, so you can find that at linuxoutlaws.com if you want to find that. Also, many other podcasts. I do a music podcast called Rat Hole Radio, where I play Creative Commons music, independent music, some of my own music, all that kind of stuff. So if you want to check that out, you can find it at ratholeradio.org. And finally, check out my band as well. I'm going to plug that again, but as I mentioned my work with Jono earlier, I do a lot of music stuff under Creative Commons and so on, so if you want to go and find out, it's 20lb.net. It's £20.net is the address. And you can find me at danlynch.org if you want to find my Twitter and identical links and all those sort of things.
Great. Well, thanks, Dan, once again for staying up late. I guess 5:30 is not really late for you.
No, not really, no. I'm not usually in bed by now, so.
About to go take his nap.
I am going at 7, though, so I'll be off then. Yeah, no right. problem. Thanks for inviting me on. Always a pleasure, and I'll see you again soon.
I'm sure you will, and as I always tell our audience here, I'll see you next time again on Floss Weekly.